Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey guys, the Night Pants Nation Tour is underway. Indianapolis, you are up next, September 30th through October 2nd. Baltimore, one night only, October 23rd. Brea, California, October 28th. All tickets are available at ryansickler.com. Go get yours today.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome
You're
back.
You're on. That's you, Ryan.
That's me.
Action.
Welcome back to the Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Night Pants Studios. I'm Ryan Sickler, ryansickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all social media. Make sure you come out and see me on
when?
Right? On tour here. The Night Pants Nation tour is already rolling. We already did Phoenix. Thank you to everybody that came out in Phoenix.
How'd it go?
It went great, man. Indianapolis, September 30th through October 2nd. Baltimore, October 23rd. Brea, October
Baltimore.
28th. Yeah, Baltimore, bro.
You been there?
That's my hometown,
I know.
Of course.
I know. Of course. You told me 5 minutes ago.
And make sure you subscribe to that YouTube where you can watch all these episodes like this Joel McHale episode over here. Patreon also, the Honeydew with y'all. Listen, it's $5 a month. And so far, the last like four episodes, we've had a man who fell off, listen to this, a 60-foot cliff.
Okay.
In the wilderness, real wilderness.
Okay. This is Bobcat Goldthwait.
Survived, paralyzed, quadriplegic for 30 hours in the wilderness by himself. Had to learn how to walk again and everything, and he made it. We had another guy who was a land surveyor, stepped on a stick, a rock popped up, spins around, turns out that rock's got two eyes and it's staring at him. And he helped solve an 18-year-old cold case. The police go back, there's a bullet hole in between, and the bullet is still in the skull from 18 years ago. They match it to the boyfriend, boom, they got him on murder. This just happened in December. Who the fuck else in comedy's doing that? All right, it's $5 a month, and you get the Honeydew ad-free a day early at no additional cost. You sign up for a year, you get over a month free. All right, that's it. There it is. All right, now you know what we do here. We highlight the lowlights. These are the stories behind the storytellers. Ladies and gentlemen, the storyteller here today. First time on The Honeydew. Please welcome Joel McHale, everybody. Welcome to The Honeydew, Joel.
Thank you.
Thank you for being
here. Thank you.
Thank you, Joel.
This is a nice setup. And the office outside doesn't look at all like...
You're the first to stand up.
Oh, well, you know, I wanted to be polite.
It doesn't look at all like...
That terrorists are planning something. It is very like True Detective out there.
All right, we're trying to be welcoming a little bit. You did break our fucking coffee machine, but what
well,
else?
I don't think. I feel like that's an error in design. And... The Keurig, which
that's what it was.
It's not problematic for landfills. wow, this is the soapbox I'm going to stand on. If you put the water in and then you push it, there's a long pause for the water to heat the water to get it through.
Long enough to make you think you did something wrong.
I thought it was completely instantaneous. Agree. I feel like the hotel ones are instantaneous.
I'm not a coffee guy. I'm just drinking water.
You don't drink coffee?
No.
Why not?
I don't drink it because I always thought as I was younger, I thought everyone drank coffee black. And then I started seeing my grandmother put all this shit in it. And then I would sip and I was like, oh, well, that's exactly how I would drink coffee, too. You have a liquid candy bar. I'm glad I don't fucking do that. So I just stayed away from it.
Do you drink any caffeine at all?
Yes. So I have Diet Coke and tea.
Coke Zero?
Unsweetened tea. No, just Diet Coke. But I can't taste any of it now. It tastes like shit. So water.
What is...
Water
steak
tastes fine.
Steak tastes like to you, or
it doesn't have a taste. It has to have something on it for me to a sweetness, or my mouth can feel things. If that makes sense, I can feel heat.
Salt?
So I like salt is a little bit. All sweets are the same sweet taste. If I was an alien that was not familiar with texture of food, ice cream being cold, cake, cupcakes, it all tastes the same to me. All of it. All sweet tastes the same. Sweet. All smells, like when your coffee was brewing over here,
yeah.
I can't smell your coffee, but I do smell this poisonous smell in the air, and that's the same smell I smell, whether it's gasoline or a barbecue I walked by the other day, it all smells the fucking same. So something's happening, because before I didn't even have that.
Did your diet change?
No.
You still like the foods that you like?
By memory, I will still eat the foods that I know I like.
Do you drink?
No, I'm not a drinker. I'm a smoker. I smoke weed. I drink. I don't not have any drinks.
Right.
But I'm not a drinker.
What does wine taste like?
Shit. Beer tastes like shit. All of it tastes the same. You could give me an IPA or a light beer and it's all the same garbage.
Wow.
Yeah. So, can we please, enough about my BS, will you please plug and promote anything you like?
Watch Stargirl. That's on the the DC app and CW, and I don't know. I should have looked up my stand up shows, but
Is there a website? Go to
joelmchale.com. Yeah. You'll see it, and then I don't know. Watch Crime Scene Kitchen on Hulu. It's still there.
You look good, dude. 49. You fucking look amazing.
Thank you, Ryan. Amazing. Sinclair. That was my pandemic way to deal with anxiety.
Went into it.
Just kind of like, if I don't exercise, I'm going to drink all the wine and eat all the steak, and then I will have a problem.
Right.
A bigger problem than I already do.
Well, I'm glad you're healthy. I do want to say this. Today, we were talking before the show, Norm McDonald passed. I don't normally get to record episodes and flip them within the week, and I'm glad we are with this one. And I just wanted to say, it's such a sad day. He's a legend. Everyone loved. There's no one. I have never heard a bad story about Norm McDonald. No. They're all outrageously hilarious and kind and funny. I was glad to be able to meet him. And
where'd you meet him?
At the Irvine Improv. I met him. And I'll tell the story here. Tom Segura and I were down there, and we had done a show together, and then Norm came in to do one behind us. And his opener was going to be up for like 30 minutes, and it was Frank back in the day at Irvine, the old Irvine.
Okay.
And he's like, hey, Norm is a big weed smoker. Do you have some weed? I go, yeah, I have some weed. And he's like, will you take him outside and get him high? I go, sure. If he's comfortable doing that right before he goes up, okay? I don't like to do that. And I smoke weed. I don't mind doing it before a podcast because I'm listening to you. But if I've got a structure in my head, I feel like it throws it off. Even if it's that much, it's my timing.
Yeah,
it's,
I can't.
You know?
I can't drink before a show.
Right.
Because I feel like it's playing basketball or something. And I know some guys it activates and works well.
Yeah.
But But so you went outside.
So Tom, Norm, and I go outside, and I'm a bit OCD. I like things clean. I like things neat. And I had just cleaned this bowl that I had, this glass, but I had just cleaned it. And most people, when you back in the day before a pandemic, if you borrowed a bowl from somebody, it was you were sucking through that dirt, and your lungs, you're going to pass out before you get high because your oxygen's running low. But this thing is hitting like it's brand new. Okay.
And how do you clean it, by the way?
I take rubbing alcohol, salt, and water, and I heat it on increments in the microwave in a little like microwave safe dish about 7 to 8 seconds. And then I boil it, and then it'll get real loose in there. And I take pipe cleaners and just poke it through.
Wow.
That's it.
Not joking around.
No.
Okay.
So this pipe is, but I have just done this.
It is
brand new,
you can
basically
eat off of it.
And I tell Norm, you know, this is some really good fucking weed. And don't rip that pipe. I just cleaned it. And he's like, whatever. You know, he's a big weed smoker. So he packs the fucking thing. And we're out in the parking lot, right in the middle of everything. And he takes this fucking hit. And I just look at Tom like, holy shit. He's a cloud comes out of him. He's coughing. He's crying. And he's like, oh, my God. I fucking told you not to rip it that hard, dude. I'm telling you. And then he starts laughing and we start talking about the British office. And yeah, he and I connect so hard on all the little idiosyncrasies of Ricky Gervais in the British office. And we're dying and talking about all these little moments we love. And then he goes in and he's fucked up. And
he did one hit.
He did more than one hit. Okay. He just did that one like it was like he was going to space. Nice. And continued to smoke. And then the fucking security comes up. They see it. It's a cloud. You know, we're right in the middle, right out front. You know what I'm talking about. So the guy comes up and we're like, oh, fuck. You know, we're not supposed to be doing this out here like this. It's like a Saturday night. There's families out there. And the guy comes up. And thank God he recognized, but he didn't at first. He recognizes Norm. He goes, hey, man, you can't be doing that. Oh, hey, you can't be doing that. Like it went.
Turned real quick.
And he goes, well, this guy gave me the weed. I'm like, this motherfucker. He's like, all right, we're going inside. So he goes inside. And Frank's like, did you get him high? I go, yeah, but he got like really fucking high. And then Norm, just to be a dick's like, I don't know what he gave me, Frank, but I'm pretty sure Sickler gave me some lace shit. And he's like, you gave him laced weed? I'm like, I would never smoke laced weed. I did not do that. And then he went up there. And I'm telling you, Joel, this motherfucker improv'd a good 5 minutes on the drink slice, because the improv had Pepsi at the time and it wasn't Sprite, it was Slice. Remember that drink, Slice?
Yeah.
And he shit on Slice for like 5 fucking minutes. It was the funniest shit I've ever heard. And I think that was enough to sort of get him back reset. And then he ran and crushed. Yeah, it was great. It was great.
How long was his show?
God, he probably did an hour and a half.
Wow.
Yeah, he would go for a while.
Yeah, I only met him a couple times. And it's one of those things that everyone's just like, he was the nicest guy.
The nicest.
And he was such a powerful influence. You know, when he got on Weekend Update, was like the lights turned on.
Yeah, the whole OJ thing of kicking him off or shitting on OJ too much. And his horrible Burt Reynolds that was the best Burt Reynolds ever, Turd Ferguson.
Yeah.
So good. That whole shit on Jeopardy. Just the best.
His Larry King.
Yeah.
And then his appearances on talk shows, they reminded me of like a Jeff Goldblum like. Like you're like, nobody is made like that. Like when you talk about, do you think I can make it? Then you see a person like that. I was like, that person's going to be famous because they are so unique and so talented.
Yeah.
And it just reminds me of this time Conan was interviewing Courtney Thorne Smith from a zillion different things, and he was he had been the lead guest and was still on the couch, and she was promoting a movie with Carrot Top in it that she had done, and Conan goes, what's the name of the movie? And then Norm's like, I know the name of that movie. And he goes, it was with Carrot Top, right? And she's like, yeah. And he's like, box office poison. And then
she's in the
And then she's, you can clear, and then, yeah, she's, Conan's like, she's in the movie, you know that? Uh-huh. And then she goes, no, it's called Chairman of the Board. And he goes, board is spelled B-O-R-E-D. And Conan, you guys like snot shooting out of his nose.
Yeah, there's no way he's gonna hold that in, right?
Like, it'd be warm. He's like, you know, you're walking out. There's an assassin sitting next to you, because he is going. He is so clever and so quick. But 61, my lord,
that's young.
It was so shocking. Well, we were talking, but like I didn't know he was sick.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I feel like people are doing that these days. They're keeping their sickness to themselves, and then you find out at the last minute, and then they're quickly gone.
Yeah,
Chadwick Boseman was the same way.
Yeah.
Well, love to Norm's family and friends for sure.
He is a icon.
Yeah, and no doubt.
Boy, what a just a titan for comedy for so long.
So let's talk about you here. I do want to get into some things with you, because I ask everyone to send their list, and your list had a few things on it. But dyslexia.
Yeah.
And we're going to get into some very scary shit later, too. But dyslexia is something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know that we've had. We've had a few people who've come on, but I don't know that they've really. It's been this thing for them in a way. So.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the beginning, because this starts when...
Yeah, it starts...
Does this come from a parent?
Well, it came from my dad, but he doesn't really admit it, and because it's passed down from a parent.
Because he's that generation of dads.
Yeah, and he was like, I don't think so. My mom's like, he can't spell. And he married... Sign. My dad was very smart and married my mom, who was a newspaper editor, so...
What did your dad do?
He did a lot of things, but eventually he had his own executive headhunting company.
Okay.
Which he probably should have been like an artist, because he can do sculpture and drawing and stuff. But he was a businessman, but eventually he was like, I found out what I'm good at. I was like, what? And he's like, talking to old rich men. And that's, you know, executive headhunting is that. And that worked, and he did well. But he needed my mom to... like proofread and all that stuff, like just like I need my wife to do that on mine.
Still, you do.
Oh, well, I send texts to people and they'll be like, are you drunk? I'm like, I didn't read it carefully. And yes, I'm probably drunk.
Probably.
Yeah. I knew early on. My older brother also has it. My younger brother definitely did not have it. It was such a, because when I finally like started like, you
figured out. Is it just the three of you siblings?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I figured out, well, one of us, I ate my twin in utero. And twins do that.
You were a twin?
No.
I was going to say, were you about to be one? You snuffed them out.
I just took the umbilical cord and wrapped it around. I was like, I'm going to
be the only one coming out.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I was C-sectioned, and then my mom was told after she had me that there's no way that you're going to have another kid with everything that happened down there. And then she got pregnant again. And then the doctors, she didn't believe the doctors, and she kept on drinking and smoking. And then my little brother came out, and he was the smartest one. So he went to a good school. So anyway, that said, I clearly was not a great student and continue to not be, but I, you know, the school system as it was and continues to be is geared for a certain kind of student. And it's a very narrow slice of, speaking of slice, it's a narrow slice
well done.
Of students. But I got held back. I was in a thing called transitional.
Okay. If you don't mind, let me interrupt for a second.
I was held back in high school. No.
When do you first realize you, like, this shit's, I'm having trouble with this. Boy. Or is it before you're held back?
I didn't even think about being held back. I was always in like the, it was so early on that I realized I couldn't really read, that they were already putting me in like the special kids classes. Okay. And I remember in third grade, we would always, like a group of us would go to this other part. And while the other students were learning cursive, they were like, what did you do? I was like, we made paper mache monkeys. And I remember just like, well, we're just doing art projects. And I knew I couldn't read. I never thought about what it was, a diagnosis or anything like that.
Well, you're a kid, so you
would. Yeah, so I'm just like.
But also, you say you're not a great student. Was it because of this learning disability, or were you also acting out in class and all that? Were you a bad kid, or are you just not a good student?
Not a good student. Okay. But obviously, you can. you must love that. That's going to be great for your OCD. I'm just going to let that stay there.
It's on your pants. I'm good. This table is a whiskey drinking, weed smoking table. We could scratch this all up. You just fucking spit
this. This is great. Wow. I like how.
I'm just that coffee, dude.
I'm drinking it all. It's not good coffee, but it's drinkable. It's what we have.
It's what we have.
Do you have any melon?
Yeah. Plenty of it.
Really?
Yeah. No one wants honeydew. We have crates of it, bro. Crates.
Yeah. I can't stand it. I feel like they take a lot of cantaloupe and honeydew and round out every fruit bowl with
That's the whole point, yeah. And then you eat around it and leave that shit and bounce.
Yeah. Imagine just the
perfectly good fruit thrown away.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
It should be eliminated from the planet. Okay, what were we talking about? Oh, right. So I was like, so I kind of felt like, I know I'm funny and people like me. I like them. I'm a terrible student. All these other kids are getting A's. I started just cheating. That's how I got around everything. And I cheated all the way through high school and college.
You did?
All the way through. Yeah. I'm not proud. I mean, whenever I do college gigs and I get interviewed by the student paper, I'll be like, yeah, I shouldn't have gone to college. And I was like, I definitely should have skipped it and just gone into University of Washington.
That's a big school, though.
Well, yeah, it's big.
How do you get in? Do you have to take SATs?
I got a combined 850 on my SATs. And that was, thank you.
You make me feel good. I had my first one. Oh, this makes me feel so good. This makes me feel so good.
What'd you get?
I got an 860. And I was like, Ryan Sickler, step your shit up. You're a 3.0 student. You're better than that. I don't test well, but fuck that. We're going to do it again. And I did, and I improved, and I got an 870.
Look at that.
10 points, bro. And I was like, all right, it's community college for me.
My grades in high school, like I started with a 1.4. In like the first quarter, my mom was like, what is happening? And I was like, don't worry, it's going to be great. And then by senior year, I was averaging like a 3.9, 3.8.
Cheated that well?
Oh, I was so good at it.
What were your techniques?
I would sit next to the right people. I'd make deals.
I had a friend that would always finish before me with alphabetical order, Matt Schilling, SH, I'm SI. Still, we've been friends since kindergarten. And he went to Princeton. Like, I knew.
He was the right guy.
He would slide that paper like this, and then he would just sit at his desk after he was done like that, and I'd be back there like, B, C, D, you know? Yeah.
And I just thought, the American education system, but I would also, they allowed to have scratch paper, I would just, when I was in college, I could get the tests in advance because I played football, and they had all the tests, so.
You played for Washington?
Not well. I was a walk-on.
But still, you played?
Yeah, I mean, I was practiced a lot.
What position?
Tight end.
Okay.
I was really good at getting hit by the defense. I made them feel so good about themselves.
Let's take a quick break and tell you about our first sponsor, Upstart. If you dread looking at your credit card statements, you are not alone. Debt can feel crippling, but Upstart can help you on your path to financial freedom. Upstart is the fast and easy way to pay off your debt with a personal loan all online. Whether it's paying off credit cards, consolidating high interest debt, or funding personal expenses, over 500,000 people have used Upstart to get one fixed monthly payment. Upstart knows you're more than just your credit score and is expanding access to affordable credit. Unlike other lenders, Upstart considers your income and current employment to find you a smarter rate for your loan. Within a five-minute online rate check, you can see your rate up front for loans between $1,000 to $50,000, and you can receive your funds as fast as one business day after accepting your loan. Find out how Upstart can lower your monthly payments today when you go to upstart.com/honeydew. That's upstart.com/honeydew. Don't forget to use my URL to let them know I sent you. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, your income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Go to upstart.com/honeydew. Our next sponsor is ExpressVPN. Now, going online without ExpressVPN, it's like using a public toilet without shutting a door. Everybody's going to know your business, all right? So it doesn't take much technical knowledge to hack someone. Just some cheap hardware, a smart 12-year-old could do it. Your data is valuable, guys. Hackers can make up to $1,000 per person selling your personal information on the dark web. It's very easy to use, okay? You fire up the app, you click one button to get protected. It works on all your devices, your phones, your laptops, your tablets, and more, so you can stay secure on the go. Look, we use ExpressVPN. We use it here at the studio. I use it at home. It makes me feel safe, secure, and we haven't had any problems, all right? So here's what you need to do. You need to secure your online data today by visiting expressvpn.com/honeydew. That's expressvpn.com/honeydew, and you can get an extra 3 months for free. expressvpn.com/honeydew. Now, let's get back to the do. Can I ask you about any times like when you were a kid when they would make you guys read aloud and things like that? Do you remember any of those moments?
Oh, yeah, that was a spelling bees and reading aloud.
About spelling bees. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Spelling bees were just, I mean, it was not, they'd be like, choke. And I'd be like, yes.
That's what I'm doing right now.
This is going to happen. Right now. And and it's funny because I was joked around in class. I was liked in class. I'm obviously very social. I am a golden retriever in that way. But then they would hear me spell and be like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And I'm like, I don't know. And so, yeah, I was ashamed of it, no doubt. But I was just like, I'm going to get around this and I'm going to beat this system. And I did.
You beat it all the way through. Did you get a bachelor's degree?
I got a master's.
You got a
Yeah.
You cheated the system all the way to the top.
Well, the master's was in like acting and performing. That was when you can't cheat it.
Yeah, you can't but read. The one thing you don't have to read, I guess.
Yeah, and people are like, oh, can you not memorize? And I was like, that has nothing to do with dyslexia.
That's what I was going to ask you too. How do you have trouble reading scripts and putting it into memorization?
No, memorizing is easy.
Okay.
It's the reading of the script that just takes longer.
Got it.
So when my agents will be like, they're interested in you for this movie, and I'll be like, did you read it? Because I go, unless you think it's good for me, I'm not going to read it. And then they'll go, it's a good thing, you should do it. And then I went, set the meeting, and that will force me to read it. Because I'm also, my attention is all over the map. So that's how I usually do those reads, but do those meetings, but so I read much slower, but my comprehension is off the charts.
Killer. Okay. What about actually writing? When you like sit down to write jokes or material, do you actually still write, or do you type? And what is that?
I have notebooks. I write everything out.
What's easier for you, reading or writing?
Well, writing is also like a shit show because I'll leave out words. I'll misspell everything. If you look at my joke book, it looks like the ravings of a lunatic, because it'll just say like penis, and then it'll be like Iowa is dumb, if I'm in Iowa. So then the other thing, I don't write out jokes word for word. I go, like if I'm doing it, also I never write jokes because I also have terrible attention and don't concentrate. But when I get a gig, I'll be like, oh, I'm going there. Like I just did Ohio University in Athens, Ohio, and I was like, okay, so I'm gonna have. I know I got to do like a half an hour new material about them, so that I'll scramble on the plane and write out all that stuff. So no test have I ever prepared for in advance.
Really?
Ever. But the true test, I was always like, if I'm in a play, like in a Shakespeare play, like you better know that shit when you walk out on stage. And so I've never, like on stage, I've never forgotten my lines. I've been in plays where people go up and they forget them, and then it's a good time. then it gets very funny.
Do you have anxiety about any social media post or spelling things incorrectly?
I will post something and my wife will be like, here's what you screwed up. And then I have to go back and fix it. Yeah. The weird part is that nobody notices hardly. I'm like, hey,
they're just as dumb as me. Most people don't care these days. Most people don't care that. Which, unfortunately, people don't know the difference between there, you know, these things. But they also don't seem to give a fuck.
Or were and we're.
Right.
No, yeah. I mean, it's an interesting...
It is. It's like, you shouldn't be okay with that, but I appreciate it.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah, you know?
My wife she's so smart, and so she corrects everything. I thank God.
So...
It's great. So anyway,
dyslexic still today.
Oh yeah, you don't
with a master's degree.
Well, yeah, but that wasn't whatever.
It's still.
But for the soup, it would take when I started the soup, it would take me 4 hours to get through 22 minutes of jokes. So
is that from prompter or
from prompter, yeah. Which I could not read, and I had tons of anxiety about that. To this day, I have to know it in advance, but the anxiety thankfully has gone down for dyslexia at least, and. And I got to a point on the soup where we were doing it live and we would promote it because there was a time when I was ashamed of it and especially in school where I'd be like, I'm just going to get around this by joking and playing sports and doing acting. But then when the soup came on and then we started doing shows live, I would promote it by saying I'm dyslexic, so I don't know what I'm going – I don't know what's going to happen. And that made, you know, that was very liberating. And to have the pressure of the live television happening, it really is in the, you know, it took me years to kind of be really comfortable. That's why when I see like hosts starting off and they're already great, I'm like, oh, fuck, that was not me. And thank God, like the first year of the soup, nobody watched. And then I got good and comfortable at it, and then it, you know.
Well, aren't you the longest tenured host on there, too? Weren't you the longest?
Yeah, everyone else left.
Right.
So,
but still,
they
you
did.
Stayed.
Everyone left.
To do other things? That's why they left?
Yeah, I mean, most of them, you know, obviously.
Aisha, John, they all.
And Kinnear left,
Kinnear
obviously.
Originally, yeah. I do remember that.
I was just like, hey, they're offering me, if I can do this once a week and still do community or a movie, then I'm taking the money. And also I enjoyed the hell out of it.
So of all the gigs, community, the soup, those things, what was the most difficult then? Would it be the prompter reading of the soup because you could memorize your community lines? And
well, I mean, there was different advantages and disadvantages to both. Obviously, community was community, and I couldn't believe I was on such a good show.
Awesome.
But the hours were bananas, and I didn't see my kids, you know, when they were little. I just lived at... They're, you know, it's happening again. No,
I'll say that.
So, no, they, so that was rough there, but you know, we loved each other on that, in that cast. And so that would, but the soup, yes, the prompter was rough. The staff was so good that we were in a good rhythm, you know, as the years went on. And that gig, I mean, I would go to community, get my makeup on, go to E for 4 hours, do the soup, and then go back to community.
Oh shit! Okay,
yeah, and because we were working
like that.
Yeah, we were working 80-hour weeks.
God,
we were always working overnight on Fridays, where we started at 6 a.m. on Monday, and then we kept going long until we had to finish the episode or get close to it. So we would end at 8 a.m. on Saturday morning, and then I would miss flights to the East Coast to go do stand up because I am a workaholic maniac. So these are all luxurious problems, but I'm very thankful to E because I really learned how to read without anxiety.
Wow.
And so, but like when I still
on television, that's a lot on your shoulders.
But but I don't think I would have. I needed that sort of fire under my ass because I wouldn't have done it. That's how it is with most of my, like, the motivation. And, like, when I book a stand-up show, I'll be like, you have this thing coming up. You better be prepared for it. And then it forces me to prepare. It's great.
Do you remember any time?
It's a good system for life, guys. That's my Tony Robbins. Like, first, get the gig, be totally unprepared, and at the last second, freak out, and then run on stage for an hour. That's how you get rich.
Yeah, that's rich. Is there any moment that sticks out from like adolescent school that really was just so embarrassing?
I had this friend from Baltimore, and he was a real asshole.
They all are, man. They all are.
Embarrassing. That was
like something that sticks in your mind that you to this day you remember about your dyslexia and how it affected you.
I was in a play in fifth grade. It was more of a it was on stage, but it was reading. We weren't off book, I forget what the play was. It was like we're doing a stage reading, and they knew I liked acting, and they knew in class that I was a very animated student. And they were like, "Joel, you'll be great for the lead." And I was in. But then we would do the live, and I was like, "This is going to go great." And it was a fucking disaster. And then the next day, I couldn't be there. And this guy named Kevin Rooney, who I'm friends with today, who lives in Pittsburgh, go Seahawks. What?
Go Ravens?
No. Go Seahawks. No. And so he read my part the next day, and they're like, "Man, Kevin was so much better." I like, you know, like. They're like, he read all the words. He knew all the words. He nailed it.
It's like
it.
He could read. It's
yeah,
like
it was
he
like
could
it
read.
Wasn't just a guy mumbling around. Yeah, I mean, some of those soup thing. I remember John Oliver appeared in the beginning. So some days would be good and some days would be bad. He appeared on the soup, and we were in New York, and he was like, "What is going on?" I'm like, "Oh, I'm horribly dyslexic." And he was like, "You have kept this a very good secret." Yeah. And I'm like, "Yeah." But there wasn't a moment where people were like, "Judas," you know, there wasn't like a thing like that. I just felt stupid, and it always like, it breaks my heart because I think about all the kids out there that are in these education systems yes. that are designed for a certain kind of student that is a very narrow slice again. And there's all these smart, interesting kids that are, I'm sure they feel stupid, and because I felt stupid, and I was told in second grade that I was a slow starter. And
a teacher told you that?
Like a person that ran studies on me. Like, because my parents were like, "What's wrong with him?" And they were like, "He's a slow starter." I mean, literally told me I was slow. But I kind of took that to, like, you forget what affects you as a kid. And I was like, okay. So that means I start off slow, but towards the end, I'll pass
everybody. I'm a
strong
finisher, yeah.
So, you know, like in high school, like I ended up like getting almost straight A's because I figured out how to work their system. But that, you know, that like mentality, when I moved here, I'm like, I'm going to figure this thing out. I'm not just going to, I'm going to figure out how to get to work, to be solvent in this business. I'm going to figure it out. And that's. So that definitely made me work harder and all that. But the shame and the feeling stupid sucked and is bad. And I feel so bad for all the kids out there that, you know, and I can't stand it when I see every commercial and every school and every business goes like, "We're thinking out of the box. We're doing all these things." And it's always the exact opposite. Yeah.
You figured out how to do math a different way and fuck all the parents up. That's what you fucking did.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was terrible at math, too. Geometry was fine. I could do that, strangely.
That's interesting.
Like, literally had a
Shapes.
Math teacher go, "Hey, man, you're, like, algebra," he took such pity on me. He was a great teacher, Mr. Simpson. And he was like, "Are you cheating at geometry?" I'm like, "I'm actually not,
everything
if you can
else.
Believe that."
I'm cheating at everything else, but not this.
Then
guy.
Trigonometry was so bad, like I was, and it just fell off.
Yeah, but that was like another language for me. It really was. Yeah. Math, once it got beyond geometry and into algebra too, and you got letters and shit, A's and B's and X's and Y's, I'm like, I'm done. It's
Forget
a wrap.
It. Yeah. No, and I, for, yeah, I don't, I mean, that is not, I mean, thank God for those people because they built everything.
Yeah.
But I, when I got to college, I had to take a class for no credit. It was a math class. It was a high school math class in college to get into college math. So I was taking this in college. And like I looked at my mom was like, "You're not taking a full schedule." I'm like, no. Look, I'm taking four classes. This one's just not worth anything. And she's like, "Why?" And she goes, "Because I couldn't get out of high school math." That was the one, like it was hard to cheat in high school math. And so I was flunking the high school college course, and the teacher was like,
the high school college.
Yeah, the high school math college course to get into college. I was already in college. I mean, this is a time when the University of Washington was easy to get into. Sorry, University of Washington, but it was much easier back then. Now I know when I tell people like, oh, good for you. I'm like,
you got in with that 860 or 850 or whatever you said?
They had this equation that worked, and they're like, great.
Does he have money? Yes.
Yeah, it was in-state tuition.
Right, yeah.
But the math teacher was like, hey, are you going to, like, he pulled me aside, and are you going to take a degree that requires math? And I was like, fuck no. I want to get out of here. He was like, okay, good. I'm going to pass you.
No,
do not take math.
And I was like, advising you not to do this.
And I did. And then I took.
That's a good teacher, though, for real.
Yeah, it was good. I had to take one math. I took the philosophy of logic, which I realized was actually harder. And I got the test in advance and would just very lightly write the answers out on the scratch paper. And then I always made sure that I got B minuses.
That's the way to do it.
C pluses, B minuses.
Don't overdo
don't
it.
Don't ever like.
Don't draw attention to it. This kid's acing it. No.
I remember being in that class and a girl was cheating and she got caught and was thrown out of school. And I was like,
yeah, it was a big deal in college. When I went to Towson, they had I remember it was a yellow fucking letter that went out to every person that and it was all about cheating.
Yeah.
All about cheating and how you'll be – there are no second chances. You're out, all that.
Wow.
All right, so here's what I want to know. You're a parent, obviously, now.
Yes.
How many kids do you have?
Two boys.
Okay. Have you passed your dyslexia on?
Yes, I have.
To both?
You're welcome, Eddie.
just one.
One of them kind of has some a little bit, but Eddie definitely has it. But he's
how old are they?
16 and 13.
Okay.
Eddie is a math whiz.
Eddie's so. 16 or 13?
16.
Okay, but Isaac definitely has it.
Oh, yeah, he definitely has it. And when he got diagnosed, because we had him tested, the woman who did the testing, the doctor, she was like, she started describing all his symptoms and like all the things that are dyslexic. And I'm like, oh, that's me. And she was like, oh, yeah, I was wondering which one it was. And because I had never gotten a fully, like, real diagnosis. I just kind of knew it.
So you're getting it through your son's diagnosis.
Yeah, but I'm like, oh. And she's like, oh, okay, great. But so anyway, that's a really nice gift I gave them.
And are there new things now? Do you see an advancement in the teaching or under?
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Standing in the however many years it's been since you were in high school?
There's no cure.
No, I don't mean that, but I mean, are there better ways to understand this and teach kids and help them better than just being like, don't do math, here's a B, you know?
Well, there are ways, but traditional American educational systems still
the same shit.
Pretty much the same shit, but there are also, now it's like celebrated. Like there's the Dyslexic Advantage book. There's ways to read on a Kindle that will read aloud to you while it highlights the words.
Oh, is that right?
There's all these cool, like you'll never get cured of it, but you can figure out methods and ways to proceed that you can get better and faster at it.
Okay.
No doubt. And I am such a, compared to what I was, just like anything, practice.
I was
going to
say, are there apps that really you can go through and train you to see things a different way or think differently?
Some people like wear sunglasses, no joke. They'll wear a blue lens or a yellow lens. You just never know. I, when Audible.
And that helps with the.
For some kids.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I mean, and what would be great if a school is like allow kids to read. I mean, allow kids to have their just more time to read. But with Audible, I've gone back and read all these classic books because, you know, they were all assigned. I read none of them. But, you know, like I read all Dostoevsky because it's great other than having to keep track of all the names and the nicknames. But I've gone back and it's been a revelation and I tear through books now. I was talking to Dax Shepard, does the same thing where it's all the way. That's how I get like people. It's people like, what podcast do you listen to? And I was like, definitely not the Honeydew, but, no, I'm like, I just read books. I mean, now it's just, I feel like I'm catching up and it's so glorious to read all these books that I never read.
That's great. I love that you've gone back and done it, not just then looked at it like this thing, like, eh.
No, yeah, I love
it's
it.
It's also inspiring to your kids to see, you know, especially that you've struggled with this and you still struggle with this. I think that's important for them to see.
I mean, they're just as sarcastic as I am. So they're like, thanks, asshole.
Appreciate this gift, Dad. Yeah.
Yeah, no, and my mom, when I start bringing it up, like if I bring up, like when we were talking about Eddie to her about his dyslexia, she was, and I'd be like, and I have dyslexia. And then my mom always gets really defensive and she was like, well, you did okay for yourself.
I'm like, no, mom,
I'm not. Because I think she thinks it's her fault. And I'm like, Dad, you haven't. And he's like, I don't know. And I was like, you know. And then they'll admit, but my mom always bursts out crying. I'm like, it's okay.
Like she did a bad job as a parent.
I'll be yes, but I do, even though I'm driving a Turbo S Porsche, it's gorgeous. I definitely can't read that fast. Yes, do I have a guest house? Yes, Mom, that's true. You haven't paid for dinner since 2005. All that is true, and it's gone well, thank God. But listen, I definitely don't read fast. My older brother has it too, and he's an electrician. But that doesn't. I mean, obviously, it requires reading, but he spends most of his time trying not to blow himself up.
Yeah, you've really taken an occupation that has certainly challenged your fucking weakness.
Yeah, no, probably my suicidal wish is that I love standing on stage and I love that pressure. I love, you know, that feeling. There's nothing better. I mean,
it's instant, good or bad. It's immediate. It's not, I shot this movie, it'll be out in a year, or we did this podcast, it'll be out in a week, or whatever. It is immediate feedback in the fucking room, good or bad. And there's nothing like that.
It is a high that I crave. And I mean, I love acting. I mean, that was my first love. And so I love seeing, I do love that process and figuring that out. But that wonderful pressure is just, I crave it. Ohio University. I was like, I wanted to hug every one of them because I'm so happy that crowds are back and vaccinated, I hope. Crazy people.
Let's take a quick break and tell you about our sponsor, Purple. Doesn't it seem like the world's against us from getting a good night's sleep this time of year, especially now? It's hot, sweaty, you got that neck sweat going on. But when you have a Purple mattress, you can sleep cool and comfortable no matter what the world throws at you. That's because only Purple mattresses have the grid. Its unique ventilated design allows air to flow through to help you sleep cool, even when it feels like 1,000 degrees out. And the grid is amazingly supportive for your back and legs while cushioning your shoulders, neck, and hips, no matter how you sleep. Unlike memory foam, which remembers everything, the grid bounces back as you move and shift, so you never get that I'm stuck feeling you do with memory foam, all right? Their pillows are great, too. I got a pillow. They sent me a pillow. One of the best pillows I've ever had. I'm a side sleeper. I sleep on it. I flip it over. This thing stays cool on both sides the whole night long. All right. So try your Purple mattress risk-free with free shipping and returns. Financing is available too. Purple is comfort reinvented. Right now, you'll get 10% off any order of $200 or more. Go to purple.com/honeydew and use promo code honeydew. That's purple.com/honeydew. Promo code honeydew for 10% off any order of $200 or more. Purple.com/honeydew, promo code honeydew, terms apply. Our next sponsor is FitBod. Now, if you're like me, I'm a guy that I get bored with the workouts. I do the same things over and over. I get stuck, you plateau, you burn out. And I don't want you to get stuck doing the same workouts, all right? You can make progress toward the future you, and that means overcoming new challenges. Fitbod creates a fitness program that continually adapts with new exercises and dynamic intensity to adjust to how you're progressing. So you'll be challenged to meet your goals at your own pace. There's no perfect body that everyone can achieve, but what we can do is continually become a better version of ourselves, all right? I'll tell you what I like about the app, all right? I set it up last night. I'm going on the road. If I don't have any equipment, there's a whole workout for no weights, okay? There's if you don't know how to do an exercise, there's a video to show you how to do an exercise. You can include warm-ups pre and post. You can just say, hey, I just want to do chest today, or you know what, I want to do chest tries and calves, and boom, 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 your whole workout is laid out there for you, all right? And like I said, if there's no equipment, no worries. FitBody has body weight routines for those looking to get it fit at home or on the go. FitBod is super easy to use and even has HD video tutorials to make learning new exercises a breeze. It integrates with other fitness and health apps like Apple Health, Fitbit, and Strava. All right, pick up the pace on your fitness journey with FitBod today, and your future self will thank you. Get 25% off your membership at fitbod.me/honeydew. That's 25% off at fitbod.me/honeydew. Now, let's get back to the do.
Well, but let's talk about you being a dad, because there is something I want to hear this story.
Yeah.
I saw it on your social not too long ago. It was an anniversary, I think, maybe, or you posted of it or something you were remembering.
It was a different, it was another podcast.
Joe Rogan.
No.
A smaller show.
It was, it was like this meditation podcast where they write out, I kind of told them my story, and then they were like, we wrote it out for you, and then I did my version, and they just kind of do like, this is what happened. And so they posted that, and I had talked about it, but I had never sort of laid it out. And then I, you know, like wanted to ask Eddie. I was like, hey, is it okay if I talk about it? Cause he's 16 now. And he doesn't mind. Cause I pay him every time. Jerk.
No. Cha-ching.
So my son had open heart surgery when he was 2 months old. And
months.
2 months, yeah. It was.
That's just your firstborn.
Firstborn.
And you're a brand new fucking dad. And
yeah.
What do they tell you? Why does he have to have this?
Well, he.
Because you're home at this point. You're obviously.
Well, yeah. So my wife, she had postpartum. And, you know, like as a new mom, you're wanting to feed your child, and he wasn't really latching on to her nipple. And then they were like, it's going to be fine. And we're trying all these different ways. And he's a very skinny kid at that point. And then she reads failure to thrive on like the chart. And she just glanced at it, and that sent her and me into like, oh, shit. And so we bring him home, and he eats a little bit, but he keeps falling asleep every time he eats. Like, he'll start eating and then just sleep. And I'm like, is that normal? And people are like, yeah, it's your baby. But it would be in like 10 seconds or less. And then she took him to, you know, for a checkup, and the doctor just heard that the heartbeat was not normal. And we went right to a cardiologist or a heart specialist, and they put the thing up there, and there was
a 2 month old baby heart, and people are gonna
this thing here.
Oh,
and
how big is the heart for real?
Oh, in a baby? Oh, yeah,
2 months.
Like, oh, yeah, like a walnut.
God.
And I don't know how people.
It's not even. That's what I'm saying. How do you? It's not even big enough to work on. I feel like.
Yeah, it feels like that. And then they do somehow.
These guys are eating a sandwich and doing it and shit.
Oh, like, well, oh no, I got this. Yeah, that's all right. Well, that is, yeah, because once they, I'll get to that, but the guy was like, oh yeah, he needs it. And you're born with holes in your heart, but they close like in the first couple months. He was like, this is huge. This will be irreparable damage by the time he's between 4 and 8, and he'll be probably dead by 20. And
Jesus.
You just can't, it's just too much stress on something damaged like that. And this is where I learned that sleep deprivation is the finest of tortures, because they're like, you have to feed him every 4 hours, and you have to feed, and the feedings, because he was so weak, would take 2 hours. So, but it had to be every 4 hours. So you'd feed for 2 hours, another 2 hours would go by, you'd be like, time to feed again.
And that was around the clock. And I was doing the soup.
For how long?
2 months.
Wow.
I remember trying to, I was driving home from E at, we lived in Glendale at the time, and I would see people on the highway. I would see shapes. And I'd be like, because I don't really get, when I get tired, it doesn't manifest itself with sleepiness to me. I begin to hallucinate.
Okay.
And then I was having heart palpitations. Like my heartbeat was all over the place. And the doctor, I did a heart test and I did all this stuff. And he's like, yeah, you just need like sleep. He was like, when's the last time you slept 8 hours? I'm like, oh, I don't remember. And so we took him in. And there was, we were trying to get him to gain weight, and he wasn't really gaining weight. And he's like, we should just do the surgery as soon as possible. So we brought him into the LA Children's Hospital, which is a miracle place. And we got this guy named Dr. Von Starnes, who was known for how fast he was. And they open him up. I mean, when you
hold on a second.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Hold on a second.
Crazy times.
Yeah, where are you emotionally handing your brand new child over to these people to work? Do they tell you there's a chance this doesn't work?
You sign all that stuff.
But does someone talk to you about the risks? Have they told you, hey, we can fix this and he'll be fine, good to go? And are they telling you that at the first?
Because he had two holes, which is different than the veins and the muscle and chambers that aren't there. It is the simplest of the open heart surgeries. If there is,
hear you on that. Yes.
So later on when we were in the recovery floor, like meeting kids with heart transplants, the parents said to us, they'd be like, "Oh, we were hoping it was that," and then you realize, "Oh wait, we're the lucky ones here," and you don't think about that. And so with the veins and the ventricles, that's multiple surgeries, and quality of life can be affected.
And how long is this procedure? You and your wife sitting at this hospital freaking the fuck out, waiting?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're doing – but the moment when you give away your kid, they start giving him the drugs to put him to sleep, you can't believe it. I mean, it's so surreal and no fun. And all that time is kind of a blur because I'd never slept. But you think about you put them in the car seat, you're driving them to the hospital, you're going to be there. We knew we slept over that night, but so you give your kid away and they said it's going to take about 2 hours. And we knew we were sitting in the cafeteria and we're waiting, still waiting to hear how it went and how it's going. And my mom's there and our friend, our good friend, the great actor Pamela Reed is there. And my wife was like, "Well, I think the surgery's over." And we're like, "How do you know?" And because the doctor's eating a sandwich. And
it was him. Oh, he didn't even come over to say something.
He didn't see us.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. I was gonna say. But then we learned later on because it takes more to, now they crack the, I don't even think they crack the chest as much anymore. Now they just go through the sides. But when they crack the chest, that takes all the time. But the actual surgery, because this guy was famous for it, continues to be, was 15 minutes.
That's it?
Because he's so fast. He goes, done. And then
that closes the valve.
They close up because the more time you're open, the more time you're on the ventilator, the more time you're, but their kids are so dang resilient. And so then it was a success. And we all were crying and so happy. But then there was, so they do multiple surgeries a day. And the kid who was right after us, who was like 5 months old, he had a valve replaced, with a pig valve, which didn't work, and he died.
No.
Because I remember our
car. You were in there when they told the
family.
So
you're all in the same area, but I remember our doctor going, the surrounding parts of the valve are, he was like, they're hamburger. I remember hearing that. I went, oh, because he said there was nothing to sew into, and there was nothing for it to hold on to. So then we watched them, the doctor Starnes, walk into the waiting room where they were and close the door, to tell them it didn't work. And their whole family was there, the grandparents. And, it was one of those,
you're like elevators going up and down. And it was just
God,
tragic.
My anxiety in my chest right now thinking about
it. Yeah. It was fucking crazy. And then your kid, then they have this room where all the kids who are recovering from surgeries, they're all around this one nurse. And the nurse just sits at this desk all night long. And she's like, don't worry, you guys go, because there's rooms for the parents to sleep in. And it was, they said, and it was the, she was like, this is the one night or two nights you're going to be perfectly fine because I'll be watching your kid the whole time. I'm like, great. And that was the most sleep my wife and I had gotten in.
You just collapse.
We were, I remember like, it was a quiet room with no windows. And I was like, I want to sleep here and forever. And then,
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Ironically, like 2 days, like he's still recovering, and they gave him a little bit too much pain medicine, and his heart stopped.
No, what do you mean?
Or excuse me, his heart didn't stop. He stopped breathing. And our friend Kim was in there at that time when it happened, and she walked out, and she's like, "Eddie's not breathing." And we run in, of course. And what they do is they give you this counter medicine that removes all the pain medicine, and then Eddie woke up like. They were like, he's going to be real pissed in a second. And he was. Because he was in pain. You know, like,
yeah,
what the fuck happened?
Right? Yeah, now he's in pure pain.
Yeah.
And he's 2 months old.
2 months old. And then you get him home. And this is when you're on the recovery floor and you realize. So, like, as I said, the parents were saying, you know, like, we wish we had that surgery. But then you're on that floor and you see little kids with, like, bowel replacements and heart transplants and all the different organs that kids, you know, that are come out damaged or they don't have them. And then you were like, you'll be like, oh, thank you for this version. And then when people are like, oh, I'm so sorry this happened to you. I'm like, you know what? It's on the – we live in a great city with a great hospital.
It is a great
and
hospital.
And we're so – you're so fortunate and so lucky and all that. So, yeah, then you take him home and then you still have to feed him all the time. And he did, you know, his energy changed a lot, but you still, I was still doing the soup and we were still feeding him all the time.
I mean, having a 2-month-old is already hard as shit. What, you have a 2-month-old who's fresh out of open fucking heart surgery.
Yeah.
What is that like being a parent to that?
You know, it's like you get used to anything practically, and you're
but
like,
is there any sort of do you have to clean the wound or the stitches or anything? Is it like what do they close you with? Staples or stitches when you're that little?
They use stitches. They have to put the bones back together.
God.
Some of it's glued back together. So his scar, he's got a zipper.
You got a good one.
But he's got two little places where, like, the drainage tube, like, but they're not really detectable anymore. And so you just kind of go, like, what's the next step? And the fact that it went well was just kind of like.
Right. We got it from here.
And I think the most nerve-wracking thing was, like, driving home. Like, don't get into a car accident.
And that was having a child. Nothing made me more nervous than they're like, she's yours now, go home. And that drive home, like, I was slowing down at fucking green lights expecting it to turn red.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, oh God. Yeah. That was really terrifying to drive a brand new human person home.
Right. All of a sudden the stakes went through the roof.
Hadn't gone from nothing to lose to everything.
That's
to
why
lose.
When I see like dads that ride motorcycles, I'm gonna be like, you are a brave person. You have a lot at stake.
Yeah, you do.
And I remember someone saying, I was thinking about getting a motorcycle, like in my late teens, and they're like, yeah, this is the time to do it. Why? I was like, well, you don't have kids. And so, you know, if you're dead, it doesn't really, the stakes aren't as high. I'm like, yeah. You know what? I'm not going to get one.
I'm just going to pedal.
Just not going to get one. Like, Dax Shepard, he's still right. I mean, he's like a freaking super racer, but he like put a hole in his shoulder that was like this big. And I was like, good for you, man. I can't do it.
Yeah, I had a motorcycle for like two, I kept it for 2 years, rode it for like two summers. And I have no, I'll never forget the moment I was like, man, fuck this. We were on the 695 Beltway and I'm riding home to my grandmother's place. I'm on this bike, 70 miles an hour, and I'm right here next to an 18 wheeler and the tires right there. And that, you know, that little float in the middle, that, and I'm just right next to this thing and I'm just looking at it like, I am nothing out. I am nothing. If this guy accidentally, I'm done. I'm getting sucked done, and that was it for me. I was like, yeah, fuck this. I feel so naked and beyond vulnerable. And I'm hearing that tire like, whoa, 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 whoa. Yeah. I'm right next to it. I was like, nah, fuck that. No way.
I
there's 18 of them. I'm good.
And I, when I got to California, I lived in Seattle, grew up in Seattle. But, you know, like when the motorcycle's riding between traffic, and I was like, this is crazy here. What is this crazy place? How can they do this? And I remember talking to a cop about it. And I was like, what happens? They're like, it's mostly your fault if you merge. So, and I was like, what are you doing? He's like, the cop was like, stay the fuck away from them.
It's jarring to not know. Like, I remember seeing it. I still have my motorcycle license. I just took the fucking test to take it and I passed it. And I was like, oh, whatever. It's still Class C, Class M1. But it says on the test, it's legal to split the lane, but not recommended. It says it right there. Like, you can do it, but we're telling you we don't. It's legal, but we don't recommend this. And when you first get here, you can't do, I don't know anywhere else you can do that. And these guys come through with those loud ass fucking horns. I've had them beat on the side of my car if they thought I was a little too close to their lane when they go by, boom. And it's terrifying. Yeah. Like, what the fuck was that? Yeah.
Yeah, you got guy. I mean,
and they're wide Harleys, dude. They're not dirt bikes squeezing through here. These guys, some of them are really fucking good, though.
They're experts. They better be good because one mistake and
it's over. That's what I think all the time. You're going to split that lane for 25 miles? You know, like, fuck that. I used to be a motorcycle rider, again, very briefly. But even knowing I had a bike and knowing what's out there, I've been guilty sometimes of signaling as I change.
Right.
Click and I'm going. And that's all it takes for one of these zooms to come by and you're done. And then I just killed you.
Yeah. Right. I
killed you.
I check my mirror. I mean, thank God now for technology that lets you know.
Yeah. Especially out here. That has helped me. I see that flashing fucking shit in the mirror and I'm like, oh, here comes a motorcycle that would have never seen. I had a guy, you'll like this. I'm sitting, this is maybe like 5 years ago. I'm sitting on the 101. It was before my daughter. 101 right around Laurel Canyon going toward Hollywood.
Okay.
It's bumper to bumper. I'm not moving. I'm in a Cherokee, a Jeep Cherokee. And all of a sudden, this fucking car, what I think is a car, hits me from behind. I'm like, oh, you know, not paying attention, probably texting. We're all creeping. And then I look up in my rear view and there's a line of cars as if they're starting a race that are a good 30 yards behind me, but they're all right there. And everyone on the freeway is now stopped and everyone else in front of me is gone. I'm like, what the fuck's going on? And I look at my side view and I see a motorcycle rider down. He's run into me trying to split the lane, but I did not. I was sitting still. Wasn't my fault, but the guy crashes. And I'm like, oh, holy fuck. And everyone is, I get out on the freeway. We're not pulled to the side. And I'm like, dude, are you okay? He's like, help me pick up my bike. I'm like, are you okay? I don't think you should get up. Are you okay? Help me get my bike to the side. I'm okay. So I pull my car over and I help him get the bike to the side. And then it's just like, fuck them. And here goes
everybody.
And we're out there. Like when I'm still helping him, they're flying by 70 miles an hour. We're in the lane. So the guys, I'm like, are you okay? You know, can I call 911? He's like, I think I'm okay. And he gets on his bike. He's like, let me just see if this thing works. And the motherfucker starts it and takes off. And I'm like, dude. And I'm yelling at him because I think he's
definitely concussed.
Right.
But probably on drugs or something from the night before, I'm guessing, too, and the way he was.
He's probably in shock.
In shock, and he just takes off. And I can't chase him or follow him because he's splitting lanes and gone. I was like, these fucking... You're insane, dude. Probably didn't have insurance. Probably just getting the fuck out of there.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's why, I tell my kids, I'll be like, look, you're not doing it while you're living here.
That's what my dad used to say, and not under my roof.
Yeah, I was like, it's my house. But yeah. But I was like, just so you know. I mean, I was like, it's cool. I get it. It's the freedom, all that, ride free, all that. But a pothole... When I hit a pothole in
quadriplegic,
in the Land Cruiser or even the Porsche, I'll be like, my phone call will not be interrupted.
When I hit him out here, I'm like, damn. Even in a car, I'm like, damn.
Yeah, like damn. And that's the end of it. But if you hit that on a motorcycle, your life could change forever. And I was like, you may never use your leg properly again after that.
That's right.
You're gonna smack your head in. So, I gotta hand it to them. I'd rather start smoking.
That's probably less dangerous.
Yeah, probably.
But your son is okay now, he's good to go. Yeah, can he play sports? Can he do all the things?
Oh, he's got, he's the only thing he has to do.
Yeah, is there anything you have to be careful about?
The only thing you have to do is like early on in his life, you take antibiotics before you go to the dentist. Because when you free plaque, it can somehow I don't know how it works, but that was what we had to do. He is on the autism spectrum, so he's a very not typical kid, not interested in sports. He does like the Seahawks, thank God. So we've gone to a few games, but very different kid. And he's like, it's going to be my size.
Oh, he is a big kid.
Yeah, he's already, I don't know, he's probably 6 feet now.
Damn, is he really?
Yeah, so
he's
big. He's a big kid. And my 13-year-old's also going to be big. So,
all right, so this is interesting. Your son is 16 now, right?
Yeah.
All right, so I mentioned before we started that first-time guest, I always ask them advice.
Yes.
That you would give to your 16-year-old self. So
buy a motorcycle.
I mean, this could really be advice you're giving not only to you, but your son as well. I mean, he's exactly that age right now. What would you say?
What would I say to me?
To 16-year-old Joel McHale, what would you say right now with the benefit of hindsight?
Stop jumping off shit.
Why? Did you get hurt?
I've had like 6-7 concussions and a skull fracture.
Have you really?
Yeah.
From what? Jumping and shit?
I mean, ironically, I played football, and I didn't really ever get a true concussion playing football. Yes, did I get my bell rung and did every practice? I felt slightly drunk at the end. So, yes, I did. But, like, the number of times that I was like, I'm going to jump off this roof and smack my head.
And do dumb shit.
And then I fractured my skull skiing, which I don't have a memory of the day. But, so, that's not like, I don't have this like, hey, breathe, okay? Take time to enjoy. You know, I don't have that, but I was like, don't jump off shit.
All right.
I'm trying to think of advice that I would be nice. Yeah, be nice. Be nice.
That's great advice.
Yeah. Just be nice to everybody.
Well, dude, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, Ryan Sickler.
And talking about that.
The Honeydew.
Yeah. Will you please promote whatever you'd like again? Everything, anything.
I'm going to be in
like.
Baltimore on September 30th. At the
where are you
playing in Baltimore?
I'm at the Famous. You're not where I'm at. Trust me.
Oh, I guarantee we'd be at the same places. How many seats is that?
300.
Oh, that's how many shows are you doing?
One now, but if it sells, I'll do another.
It'll sell. I guess watch Stargirl, watch Crime Scene Kitchen.
What's Stargirl on?
It's on the CW, but it's on the DC app. I think that's where most people get it. It's very popular with teenagers and teenage gals. But I get to work with, it's a great cast, but Luke Wilson's on it and Amy Smart's on it. And working with him is like, I'm a big Amy Smart, but Luke Wilson was in the Royal Tenenbaums and Bottle Rocket.
And Old School.
People
forget about him in Old School.
He's amazing.
Straight guy in Old School.
I mean, Idiocracy is a masterpiece. And I, after knowing him for a bit, I was just like, hey, just so you know, I'm a gigantic fan.
Yeah, like when do you?
He's like, oh, okay.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay, Joel. Sure, buddy. Great. That's big fan.
That's good, dude.
Oh, yeah. I heard all about it.
So, yeah. What else? I don't know. I'm doing some stand-up. Yeah. I'm trying to think of anything. Yeah. So just, yeah.
You'll see me on Joel.com for dates, stand-up dates, live dates.
Go to there.
All right.
It's great.
Thank you again for coming on.
No, Ryan, thank you. You are a seriously thoughtful person.
Thank you, my man. And as always, Ryan Sickler on all social media, RyanSickler.com. We'll talk to y'all next week.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.